The first half of 2015 wasn't great and I didn't start the year that well, but the back end of the year, so for me the start of the 2015-2016 season has been probably the best start to any season I've had, so from that point of view I'm really happy.
And in September you came back revitalised, then you won the Macau Open in September, US Open in October, Qatar Classic in November, and then topped it off by securing the world number one ranking spot in December with your performance at the Hong Kong Open. Has it sunk in yet?
Maybe not. I don't exactly know what it's sort of expected to feel like. Obviously, I've spent 18 months at number two and I've come through juniors with Nicole David, who's been at the number one spot, had the number one spot for 9 straight years before she was knocked off the top spot. So it's sort of a bit of mixed feelings of maybe feeling partly like I never really thought it would happen and then finally getting that one spot. But then obviously I don't want to, you know, I want to keep it for as long as I can. I don't want to just be there for a month or 2 months. I want to keep it for as long as I can. And obviously with that comes pressure. So I'm going to have to withdraw on all my experience of being number two in the world for a long time and all the pressures that you've had throughout your career and try and draw on that. So it's, you know, it's something that I can definitely tick a box and something that, you know, in some ways maybe will mean more perhaps when I'm finished and I can actually enjoy it and tell people that I was one in the world. Whereas at the moment it's, yeah, I'm number one in the world and now everyone's trying to catch me.
Nicole David, you've obviously pipped her to the top spot. Was there any conversation or dialogue with her about it? Has she congratulated you?
No, I mean, obviously, it was a really weird position to be in, to win my quarterfinal in Hong Kong and to come off court and be told if you win in the semi-final you'll go to world number one. That I always imagined that going to world number one I'd be sat at home on a random Tuesday morning and the rankings had come out and it'd be I was number one. I didn't really ever think that I might have to play a match to gain it, like you would go into a tournament and lift a trophy. I didn't ever imagine that being world number one would have that same sort of feeling of it being in my control. You win this match, you go to world number one, you lose, you don't, as simple as that. So that obviously happened in the semi-final of the Hong Kong Open, and then I had to play Nicole in the final, so it was probably pretty normal for us not really to say much to each other before the final, and then after it was just presentation. And I struggled a little bit emotionally in that final, just being a little bit flat after the whole high of knowing that I'd go to world number one after the semi. So I was a little disappointed with my performance in the final, but on the grand scheme of things I don't think that you can expect or prepare for a situation like that. So I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't change winning that Hong Kong Open and not going to world number one. I wouldn't switch it. So I just have to try and be better if it happened again next time.
You made the decision earlier this year to just take some time out from the sport because of fatigue. Looking back, do you now think that period and that decision was the right one?
Yeah, I mean, you can't really argue with results, and I've had a lot of conversations with my husband and my coaches over the year, and I guess in a way they know you almost better than you know yourself sometimes, and they can see that the spark is gone and the glint in your eye and the excitement for training. And I guess I couldn't really see it myself. I just was almost ploughing into more hard work and getting more tired, and then the results weren't coming, and then I was getting frustrated. And yeah, it was not, you know, a particularly pleasant time. But if you'd have said to me a year before that happened, you know, when I won the World Championships, that in a year's time you'll be like, you know, almost thinking about whether you wanted to carry on and you'd put your rackets away for a month, I wouldn't have believed you. But then if you'd have told me in March, April time that I would be world number one by the end of the year, I wouldn't have believed you either. So I think it's just important perhaps for me to realise that a year is a long time in anyone's life, but in a sports person's life it's even longer. There's a lot that can change and a lot that can happen.
I bet it feels like a lifetime away now, considering the second half of the year. How close were you to packing in the sport altogether when you had that time out? And what made you think, actually, there's still life in me yet, I want to pick the racket up again?
I'm not actually sure probably how close I was to putting my rackets away for good, because I had a break with the mindset of I'm just going to have a break and hope that the passion and the will to train and the desire comes back. And yeah, there was periods during that break when I was thinking, I don't really want to go and train, and it isn't there. So maybe it's never going to come back. But a lot of the reasons that I wanted to carry on playing was because I knew that I had more to give, and it was just whether or not I genuinely believed that I could come back and achieve what I wanted to achieve and give what I wanted to give. People see the highs and the lows in competition, but it's very different when you're training day in, day out, and you know the hard work that goes in and the tough sessions, and it's very different when you're in there living it day in, day out. Things don't just happen in a week or, you know, 2 weeks. They happen over a sustained period of time, you know, behind closed doors, like for every athlete. So obviously I thought about where I wanted to go if I did quit playing squash, and you know, the thought of, you know, not really knowing what I wanted to do, whether I was really ready to step into a coaching role, whether I was ready to step into a different area altogether. And just asking myself those questions and stepping back and giving myself the time to ask those questions and then answer the questions were probably what made me realise I wasn't ready to stop. So not really that close to ever fully hanging up the rackets, but, you know, just the fact that I could stop and ask myself those questions in a genuine sort of place with no emotion attached to them from a winning or a losing position, then I think that was quite big.